Welcome back to the show. My name is Michael Lin, and this is the MongoDB podcast. Today on the show, another MongoDB community creator spotlight, Shrey Batra. Shrey is founder of Cosmo Cloud, and he's been working as a developer for over 7 years. He's built multiple distributed systems, working with databases, he's filed patents, and he's also a MongoDB champion. Currently, he's working on building Cosmo Cloud, a no-code way to build back-end applications in minutes from development to deployment. Shrey, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. It's good to be here and chatting with you.
Yeah. So we've been working in the community together for, I'm going to say maybe 4 years, maybe longer. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. 4 to 5 years. 2019 yeah. is something that I remember.
Yeah. So it's great to have you on the podcast. We're going to talk about a number of things, but I'd like to get a little bit of a background. How did you get to the point where you are today, where you're building out a company? That's pretty incredible. Great experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's new for me as well. You know, software and tech, especially the backend systems and all of these things. It was always interesting to work in these, you know, get creative. So yeah, there is a point in your life where you say that, okay, let's not work for others, but let's work for the community as a whole. That, okay, you are building out something and that something could be used by the whole of the community to achieve something, basically. That's the goal of why I'm here.
Yeah. So tell us about Cosmo Cloud, a no-code way to build applications.
Yep. So Cosmo Cloud is basically a no-code backend as a service platform. Think of it as a pluggable microservice in your existing tech stack or a single backend service that you are building out when you're starting from scratch. So the aim is that everything that repetitive that a developer does can be abstracted out from cloud deployment to code generation to scale, maintaining, network, all of those things, and just focus on the core essence of the business. That, okay, whatever complex logics, complex APIs that you need to build out, there are probably hundreds of systems on the backend that you create, right? From data pipelines to databases, caches, and all of those things. All of those things can be done in a no-code way. And at the end of the day, it's the developer productivity that matters.
So Shrey, what led you to the point where you thought about building Cosmo Cloud? Was it a specific project you were working on, or was it just the culmination of your experience as a developer?
So it was a project that I was working on before Cosmo Cloud. It was something that I was building on as a hands-on system design platform. And when I thought about that, okay, if I can judge system design objectively, why limit it to the edtech space and why not actually create it for the production world or the live apps that we create today? So that was a turning point from the edtech to actually a company being built rather than a project.
Yeah. And so how does Cosmo Cloud leverage MongoDB?
MongoDB is the data partner behind Cosmo Cloud. So the Cosmo Cloud's own data as well as the customer's data. So any customer building out projects on Cosmo Cloud can actually store their data on MongoDB and specifically MongoDB Atlas as well. And we have a first-party integration with MongoDB. And it solves most of our problems that we don't need to do ourselves, including managing the clusters, the database, failover, all of those things. We can just focus on other parts that the database layer does not solve us. Yeah.
So Cosmo Cloud is leveraging MongoDB Atlas as a backend. What's the data model look like? How are you segregating customer data?
Yeah, very interesting. So now you cannot think Cosmo Cloud as a single application or a single business, right? As it says, it's a cloud and we need to support more clients. Each client becomes a tenant themselves, right? So we have to work as a multi-tenant application, and that has independent databases, independency in business logic, in functionality and scalability as well. So when we use MongoDB within Cosmo Cloud and the data or the database itself is not owned by Cosmo Cloud. It's owned by the customer. What Cosmo Cloud does is it orchestrates it. It maintains the infrastructure, the connectivity, network, security part of it. But yeah, the end data that the customer brings, our customer being another businesses or developers creating apps, that data remains with them as it is.
Oh, I like that. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. So I go into Cosmo Cloud, and I've actually been in there and messed around a little bit.
Awesome.
I provide a connection string to my MongoDB Atlas instance.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we just connect Cosmo Cloud. So, you know, you can always think about it as three layers of the software stack. So one is the front end, the back end, and then the database on a very high level. So front end, we don't deal with it currently. It's very brand specific. Database, MongoDB is a database that helps us build applications. Cosmo Cloud specifically is the backend layer. So you can connect the database, that's MongoDB. And yeah, just you're good to go.
Yeah,
no need to spin up your own infra or maintain it.
Yeah, it's super easy to use. So I hope folks will jump into Cosmo Cloud, give it a spin, see if it works for their specific use cases. We'll have links in the show notes. I want to talk a little bit about your transition from a community member contributing to the community to actually building a company. How do you interact with the MongoDB community today?
So I have been part of the MongoDB community for probably years now. I'm not sure how many years, 2 to 3 years, 4 years. Probably we started the first MongoDB user group as well. That's based out of Delhi NCR in India. And I still lead the user group over here. So see, when you are in the community, right, you tend to be around those people or developers who are actively working on creating new things for the industry, be it a business, a project, an open source a tool or something like that, right? And specifically when I started working with MongoDB, I did not limit myself to the MongoDB's client side. I actually went in to the source code of MongoDB, started contributing over there on the database itself, the query drivers, and so on, so on. That helped me, you know, spark a few things in my mind that, okay, why not do something at the root level that will help the community? I started out being like an open source contributor. And then I thought that, okay, there is some potential with, you know, no code as a service or backend or the things that I have thought that are not there in the market right now. So when I say no code backend, we are not building college apps, right? So we are doing something that is production grade or complex or customizable. So those things, when you talk about and you see that, okay, the community can benefit out of it, that is something that you would want to say that, okay, this is the business that's coming in and this is something that I want to do. And so just started from there.
Yeah. Well, it's impressive. So obviously you're bright. You're a developer. You've got a great set of skills, but those skills don't always translate into founding and building a company. So what are the key skills that you think are necessary for someone to transition from being a developer to developing a company?
See, there are two, three aspects to it. I would say 40% is the luck factor in it. That yes, you do have luck coming into the picture that, okay, the opportunities that you are given or the responsibilities that you are given, that is just the 40% part of, or probably 30% part of the journey, right? The rest 30 to 40% is you making that opportunity turn into something good. That yes, the responsibility that you were given, you have the passion to complete it. And that's the accountability and responsibility factor that comes into the picture, right? Not everyone is a responsible and an accountant person, I would say. Being an employee as well, I never felt that it is the company's product. I felt it's my own product. And if some bug is there or something wrong is happening, it is my responsibility to fix it. And that leads you to think about more things when you start a company. Because see, when we say that we are doing a startup, it's not as easy as it sounds. We can't just go register a company and start selling. I mean we could do that, but to make a company and, you know, it's a journey. It's not the end goal. right? That journey brings a lot of challenges altogether. So it's not about coding. It's not about, learning new technologies, because probably everyone can do that. What matters is the passion you come along with, right? So are you interested in the research and development of new things? Are you interested in solving a new problem statement? That is not limited to just the software side, but things like organizational behavior, how to get more people interested in something that I believe in probably, right? That is the other challenging parts to creating a company. So skills matter till a little level, but after that, it is the skills that you have as a quality in the person, right? That matters. I also lack in a few things. I probably call in my own partners. They excel in those things. But all of these things make up a single package, and that's the company that you have. It's not a one-man show that you can run.
Yeah, I love that. So in the community, there's this sense of mentorship and helpfulness, and I've certainly witnessed that in your work in the community. Who talk about some mentors that you've had? Who's helped you in the community?
Specifically, MongoDB community or the overall community?
Overall, like who's been influential for you, and maybe it's just somebody that inspires you.
Yeah. So there are a lot of them. Specifically, if you talk about the startup industry right now, there are a few gems that you see on the LinkedIn community or this Reddit community or like any other platform. But people who actually talk about development as or growth as they have done it themselves, right? I keep on going and checking the podcasts of people I follow, I get inspired from. Few of the mentors I would, specially mention is probably the managers and my leadership team from my ex companies, both Innovasol and LinkedIn. They have helped me. So I was always fortunate to get good managers and good leaders above me. So that's a super helpful thing that to have, basically. That's how you get shaped up in the real world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's the willingness to be mentored as well. And it sounds like you have a growth mindset. That's really helpful. So let's get back to Cosmo Cloud. You're building this. And I love that you said it's a journey, not a destination. What's next for Cosmo Cloud? Are there features that are coming out that you're excited about?
Oh, yes, definitely. So again, like Cosmo Cloud is not a very old, stable product right now. It's always evolving. And when we say backend as a service or a no-code backend layer, there's practically no limits to say that, okay, every feature is there, right? So constantly evolving new features. Something exciting that we just launched is object storage, full text search. Basically, we use the full text search directly from Atlas as well, MongoDB Atlas. And that helped us, remove all the data pipelines, all of the extra infrastructure burden and everything that that every team actually looks for. And with a click of a button, you can spin up those. Some things that we are planning are background jobs as well, and caches and GraphQL as well. But yeah, that will take some time to come up right now.
So I like the vision, and I like that you have a good core set of features that you're planning. And I'm curious though, as I approach a problem space for a specific application I'm developing, what are some of the ways that Cosmo Cloud can enhance my productivity as a developer?
Perfect. Okay. So when we say developer productivity, it is our first main goal in Cosmo Cloud, right? So being a developer myself, I mean, I hate to spend time on things that are not creative enough, right? Now, what would a normal journey look like? A person would come in, they would code, probably build, then ship it to some image registry or somewhere, and then deploy. They would go to the cloud, get some servers, deploy it, some containers, scale it, would have a dedicated DevOps team, SREs, data engineers for data pipelines, and so on. So there's so many things at all, right? Mm-hmm. What we have done in Cosmo Cloud is, first, it's a 100% managed multi-cloud platform. So when we say this, it means that you can choose your cloud, your region. Second, you don't have to worry about the code build, code deploy, as well as the scalability part of it. You are totally abstracted out of it. And all you need to say is, this is the load that I would have. And this is the scalability factor that I would need. That's it. Second big USP, apart from the no-code part of the platform, is instant deployments. A lot of people say we have one-click deployments. One-click deployment is not instant. When we click on a button, yes, it's a single click, but then there are scripts and everything running in the back, probably some CI/CD pipelines, very talked about these days, right? So all of that automation takes time. Even if you are having a small scale deployment to a large scale deployment, it takes few minutes to an hours for to get the new version up and running, even for a rollback. Now, when we say instant deployments, that means that your new version of your application would be instantly live, no matter what scale. So even if you are running a single instance of your application, or if you are running 5,000 instances of your application, there is no downtime. There is no roll. Rolling deployments. There is no blue green deployments. Mm. It's instantly, within a few milliseconds, the API call that it takes to go from the Cosmos Cloud front end to the back end, it actually gets live. And that is something that we are getting patented as well. So, I mean, these kind of innovations or creativity is not there in the market. And think about the time that DevOps team, SRE team, CI/CD pipelines, all of that things will be, you know, saved eventually.
Yeah, so, that's super impressive. I love that feature, like zero clicks and your application is updated. So one of the frustrations I've had with no-code solutions in the past is I get 90% of the solution. And the challenge is in the gaps that the tool has. Maybe I need to reach out via an API or leverage some piece of business logic that isn't represented in the no-code solution. How do you address that with Cosmos Cloud?
So that's one of the core features as well for Cosmos Cloud. And that's where we focus most of our time. Because see, again, we'll come back to the tagline that we have, right? First, developer productivity. And second, backend as a service. When we say backend as a service, we don't want to limit ourselves to easy projects, the basic CRUD operations of our database, or you know, the easy read and writes that happen. But the customizability aspect is also something that is inbuilt in Cosmos Cloud from day one. When we say that, okay, we want to build some custom logics or a custom API, you can do that on Cosmos Cloud, whatever you want, no code. So that is something that we focus on. And yes, obviously, it's not 100%, might not ever be 100%, but we try to focus it on 98%, 99%. Like close to 100%. Let's say I'm building a 10-minute grocery app, or I'm building a ride sharing app, for example. Mm-hmm. So if I'm booking a ride sharing app, I would be able to, like, when I click on the book a ride button, I should be able to get all the riders near me, calculate the price, the distance, the preference of a rider going in that direction, and probably so many more logics, right? It is not just get me riders and assign a rider. It's not as simple as that in a production world or a real life scenario, right? So all of those things is something that you can achieve with Cosmos Cloud. And that is what we are focusing on. So we are not a query engine on top of a database. We are actually the no-code version of your backend heavy layer where you build complex APIs. And not just APIs, but jobs, tasks, connecting to a lot of other services as well. So what we are trying to do is just build a whole package.
No, that's exciting. Are there specific industries that are attracted to Cosmos Cloud? Are the customer base that you're really reaching, do they come from a specific industry, or is it across a number of industries?
So currently, we are not industry agnostic. We are not an industry specific business to start with, but we do have a lot of focus from logistics, fintech, and not specifically industry size, but type of businesses. So the type of businesses that use Cosmo Cloud is three types. One, they don't have a dedicated tech team. Either they outsource the tech team or they have vendors or contractors working, right? Second is the companies that want to focus on the front-end part of it. That, okay, we want to build our business and our brand, and we want our front-end engineers to go and build the back-end without, you know, getting more engineers or even 10x more engineers in the team. And the third type of company is when they already have a lot of engineers. They are large companies, but large companies takes a lot of time, lot of compliances, audits, reviews, this and that, right? All of those things are made very productive. So one company that was a very large company, what they did was they would take a month to release that feature. They actually released that feature in 2 days. That is including the review, the testing, the deployment, and connecting it, integrating it with their own front end. So that's the gain that we have. So from 30 days to two, that's probably 15 times, but we limit ourselves to 10x. For marketing purposes. Yeah.
I love that. That's great. And that's impressive. Super impressive. Yes. So what does the future of software development look like to you?
Perfect question. Now, you would also have heard about a lot of things like AI, Gen AI, co-pilots running in. And this is the question that most of my clients already have. That if we have AI, why would we use Cosmo Cloud, right? And is Cosmo Cloud using AI? The first thing is we don't use AI yet. So it's a pure shot, abstracted, managed platform. But yes, AI would help you build faster on Cosmo Cloud in the future. That's one thing. Second, AI and the industry itself, right, on the software development journey, it's not going anywhere. Just the repetitive part is going to become as less as possible. And the goal of all of these things is to make developers productive. At the end of the day, it's the developers who build your product, be it any kind of business, any kind of application. If the developers are pampered enough, I would say, they are super happy to work and build your product in a much better way, right? Now, all of this AI and everything, they do help the developer code faster, review faster, and so on, so on. But at the end of the day, there is again a developer who's, probably reviewing it, because yes, AI is, it knows your business, but it does not know your business, right? So at the end of the day, it's your show, it's your business. You have to make sure that whatever AI is generating it, you have to vet it. So developers are not going anywhere. Probably skilled developers will always be there. And if you don't have a skill, or if your skill can be rewritten by AI or no code tools or something like that, probably find another skill is what something I'll say.
Right. So something I thought of while you were answering that question, what do I get on the output of Cosmo Cloud? Let's say I go through the process of developing an app. Where does the application live, and what do I get as a developer?
Awesome. So we are not a boilerplate generator, or we are not a code generator, right? What we have done is we have worked on the root level or the framework level. So people building an API in a code world would think about Django, Flask, FastAPI, and Java, Spring Boot, so on and so on, right? Similarly, we have built a framework within Cosmo Cloud. That is a managed framework. Now, when we say managed framework, to be very honest, there is no code generation that is happening. How it is happening, when I say that, okay, when you save the application or you release a new version, there is no code build that is happening. There is no code deploy that is happening. There is not even a service restart that happens. And all of your instances or servers are updated behind the scenes. That is because of the things that we have done at the grassroots level. We have actually went to the grassroots level, how software development or how software is built, right? Now, coming on that point, the output is a managed platform. You don't have to download the files. You don't have to maintain the servers. You don't have to do anything. It's exactly what MongoDB Atlas probably gives us, that just click a button, choose the tier or the the size of the clusters that you would want. And behind the scenes, MongoDB or Atlas would do everything for you. And all you are interested with is the database. Similarly, on CosmoCloud, all you are interested with is what APIs are running, how is my external applications connecting to it, and leaving everything else to the platform itself. So it's pure short SaaS platform.
Yeah. So there's a URL that's generated that will enable my users to access the functionality of my application. Can that be behind a custom domain?
Exactly. It can be. So custom domains to subdomains, CNAME records, all of those things can be done on CosmoCloud. And that's where the different plans come into the picture. So we do have a free tier, free for everyone. And we don't have custom domains on the free tier. But as and when you upgrade, you can connect your own custom domain so that it has your security, our security, and your branding and your brand guidelines as well. So, everything is possible. The only thing that is not allowed by CosmoCloud is to waste a lot of hours doing all of that repetitive work again and again, again and again.
I love it. Well, I love the mission of CosmoCloud. It's been a great discussion. And I want to remind listeners, like, Shrey is a part of the MongoDB community. He's part of the MongoDB community advocacy program. He's a MongoDB champion. And these are the types of things that are possible when you lean into the community. If you want to get involved, there's a link in the show notes to the MongoDB Community Advocacy Program. You can check that out, do some research. Maybe it's for you. Shrey, is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap up?
Oh, you just talked about MongoDB champions. So just wanted to say to the audience that there are a lot of benefits and perks in being in this program. So, do check it out. Being part of the community and the program helps you a lot, helps the community a lot. And it's good to be called as a MongoDB champion as well.
Well, we definitely appreciate your work in the community as a champion. And I look forward to seeing you in the community forums and out there at Mugs. Shrey, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Michael. It was a good day talking to you.